For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Yo, how we doing on this fine Wednesday here in New York City? Evan and Tiki. Tiki, I can't even say he's off today. What I would say is he's on assignment. Because Tiki's always working, even when he's not on the radio. So he's interviewing a prominent NFL player for his NFL job. And I'm sure you'll see that interview very, 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 very soon. But Tiki will be back tomorrow because he's that crazy. He's going to come back on a red eye to do afternoon drive tomorrow afternoon. Now, I want to get something out of the way before we talk about everything that there is to talk about. And there's a ton of stuff. I don't believe in jinxes. I think jinxes are stupid. And I need to be honest and open and honest with the audience. Sean Manaea is pitching this afternoon for the New York Metropolitan Baseball Club. He has retired every batter he's faced. 12 up, 12 down, four innings in which, I guess I should just use the word, he's been perfect for four innings. So I just want that to be out there. If he issues a leadoff walk to start the fifth, if he gives up a double to start the fifth, I guess you can blame me. But I just want you to know because I know. And I am now having a nightmare, like this nightmare that I never even envisioned. And that's being on the radio, staring at Tommy Lugauer's face without my scorebook in front of me, without writing anything down, and witnessing a perfect game. That could actually be like a top five Evan Roberts nightmare.
Now, be honest. Before the show, Ev, I said you should score the Met game during your show here.
You did say that, yeah.
If they pitch a no-hitter here and you didn't, you're going to regret it.
I am going
to
regret it.
Do you want me to go run and get the scorebook now?
It's too late.
We still have time. No, you can still fill in the first three innings.
No, I've got rules, man. It's the bottom of the fourth inning. But we will keep you posted about the Met game. We will give you instant reaction to this game. It's an important game. Forget about the non-possibility of a perfect game. They're trying to beat the Orioles. They're trying to win a series. They're trying to finish this homestand on a positive note and finish with a winning homestand because right now the Mets are 4-4 through the eight games that they've played on this long, arduous homestand. So we'll keep you posted about the Met game. Now let me get to the Yankees from last night because I kept thinking of this song, and this is actually an old song. This is a song before my time. This is actually up Joe Beningo's alley. But I've got weird knowledge of music. I don't know a lot, but there's certain songs I do know. Have you ever heard the song, and I'll ask Lugie, I'll ask Amanda, who's filling in today, have you ever heard the song 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover? You ever heard that song?
No.
Absolutely not.
Never heard that song? I think Paul Simon did it. And basically, it's a list of all the different ways you can leave your lover. Now, you may be saying to yourself, Evan, okay, that's a fine song from 100 years ago. Why did that go through your mind last night while watching a baseball game between the New York Yankees and the Cleveland Guardians? I will tell you why. It is one thing to lose a game because a guy doesn't execute. It's one thing to lose a game because your closer blows a save. It's one thing to lose a game because you just don't get the job done. What I witnessed last night at Yankee Stadium, I wasn't there, so I witnessed it on TV. But what I witnessed watching that game last night is 100 different ways to lose a baseball game. 100 different ways. And I actually started writing them down even before the Yankees lost. Because there were so many things in this baseball game that would drive you as a New York Yankee fan absolutely nuts. Like, in the third inning of this game, there's nobody covering second base on a rundown after the game-tying hit. So you've got a mental mistake that basically hands the Cleveland Guardians an extra out and an extra opportunity. You have a failed pickoff attempt that allows David Fry to go first to third. You've got Trent Grisham, who does not have many jobs on this baseball team. I mean, think about it. What's Trent Grisham's job? His job is to play good defense in center field, and it's to run, especially if you're in the game as a pinch runner. And Trent Grisham somehow, some way, I still can't figure it out, though I do blame a little bit of Luis Rojas, can't score on an Austin Wells double high off the center field fence. That's reason number 67 on how to lose a game. In the 12th inning, like we all know DJ LeMahieu sucks. Right now he can't hit. But DJ LeMahieu fields a ground ball at first base. And it's almost like, I'm gonna stand up and try to demonstrate, because I used to play first base, believe it or not. That's why I loved Rico Bronya. I was pretty good at it. It's almost like, I think I touched the bag. Wait, did I touch the bag? Oh, no. Let me just throw to second base. And so DJ LeMahieu, who is normally a sturdy, solid, steady defensive player, and he better be a solid, steady defensive player, because God knows he can't hit, doesn't apply his foot on first base and gives away a potential double play. You've got a ground ball also hit to DJ LeMahieu later on, in which Gleyber Torres and Michael Tonkin are basically having a contest on who can look lazier on a baseball diamond, because neither guy is covering first base. Now, I left out a few things. Like, for example, I left out the ability for Trent Grisham to hit the effing ball in the air to score a game-winning run and win that game in extra innings. I left that one out. I left the one out where DJ LeMahieu comes up with how many opportunities, and he can't drive in the game-winning run. But what made last night, I think, infuriating, and I would argue, and it's been enough hours, like, it's 2 o'clock now. I know the game ended 5 minutes ago because it took forever, but enough time has gone by where you can be rational. You can kind of put this game in the memory piggy bank of this season and say, yeah, it was a bad loss. It's not the worst loss of the year. Remember the Kansas City game? Remember the Baltimore game where Anthony Volpe couldn't make a defensive play? Remember that? And Alex Verdugo's falling down like a schmo in left field? Like, trust me, I get that the Yankees have had a grouping of bad losses this year. But to me, the reason why that was so bad last night, and that was so alarming last night, is because it was stupid. They made so many stupid, dumb, lazy, inexcusable mistakes. Like, you're going to lose to the Cleveland Guardians. They're a damn good team. They're one of the better teams in the American League. I understand that you're not going to win every game. I understand that you're not going to be perfect. But there were more than 10 different little things that the Yankees did last night that contributed to a loss. And I wonder, because I was thinking about it last night, I was thinking about it this morning, and I'm like, all right, well, I'm a big, we got to hold people accountable. Who the hell do we blame for this? I mean, is it Aaron Boone? Is that it? Is it just that? You know what? The manager, he's so soft on the players. That's why they make so many mental mistakes. Is it Aaron Boone? Is it the individual players, which really makes it Brian Cashman's fault? Like, is Trent Grisham just a guy they never should have brought in? Like, despite him looking like Barry Bonds against the Mets in 2022, is Trent Grisham just not good enough to be a pinch runner extraordinaire and a solid defensive center fielder? Like, you almost have to expect that he's not going to be able to score from second base on a high double off the wall. So is it him? Is it the players? Is it Boone? Is it August? Is it, you know what? That's August. It's late in the season. They're tired. It's a long year. They're mentally exhausted. So I don't even know who you specifically blame for this, but what made last night, as a baseball fan, as an IBO, so infuriating is that those kinds of mistakes, those kinds of, excuse my French, dumbass mistakes that the Yankees made last night, those are the things that will kill you in October. Those are the mistakes you can't make. Like, the New York Yankees are a good baseball team. Talent-wise, if I wanted to bore you all day with this, we could take the Yankee roster, we could take the Guardian roster, we could take the Oreo roster, we could even take the Astro roster, and you know what you'd come up with if you kind of compared all the talent? It's all very close. It's all very, very close. There isn't a great difference in talent. So the Yankees have the talent. I know they're not perfect. I know they've got flaws. They all have flaws. Everybody's got flaws. I know that they're not the 98 Yankees. No kidding. But the one thing you can't do, especially when it becomes October. And they'll be in October. And the thing you can't do, even in September, when you're in a pennant race, is play what I like to call, and what we saw last night, as dumbass baseball. Failed pickoff attempts. Nobody covering second base on a rundown play. A guy not being able to score on a play in which he has to score. Nobody covering first base on a ground ball to first base. And then, yeah, there are those little execution things. You know, those little, like, tiny execution things. Like, if there's a runner on third base with less than two outs, can you hit the freaking ball and drive a run in? If you're Trent Grisham, a few innings after you make that base running mistake, you don't have to hit a home run. You don't even have to hit a double up the alley. Can you hit the ball to the outfield? By the way, five perfect innings for Sean Manaea at Citi Field. At some point in this show, and I'll say the seventh inning, Loogie, I think that'll be the number, I will start soliciting live phone calls from Citi Field to give us the update on the perfect game drama that's occurring in Queens. Now, it may be too early. It's only through five. So my vote is seventh inning. Is that fair? Seventh inning, we start taking people in the ballpark phone calls, giving us live updates from this event.
Seventh inning is perfect. Now, in honor of Sean Marash not being here, I'll do the dad joke for him.
Go ahead.
We have Perfect Sean.
Come on,
that's going to be the New York Post headline. They're going to take that, and you're going to love it. Tomorrow you're going to go, did you see the Post headline? Perfect Sean.
I have to admit, I don't think I'm a selfish person. Like, I try to look out for other people. Right now, in this moment, I am very selfish. I am so jealous that I may not be there. I'm telling you, I'm being honest with you. I've gotten over the no-hitter thing. I'm not over the perfect game thing. And right now, the Mets have a perfect game through five innings.
Please.
I'm going to hate everybody in that ballpark. I'm going to really hate the person that bought my tickets for, like, you know, 2% of what it's worth.
Just let me go get your scorebook so you could score the rest of this game. It's a perfect game. It's going to be in my Mets Bible, too.
No. Positive Tommy, do you think Sean Manaea is pitching a perfect game today?
Yes, I do.
Do you really?
Yes. I just think that this season of positivity has led a lot of things to where it needed to be. Me and you here, while the game's on, no Tiki, no Sean. It's just the stars have aligned.
Oh, my God.
It's a getaway day for Baltimore here. They're like, whatever, let's get out of here.
Yeah, it's like, screw it. We're half up on the Yankees. We accomplished our goal. Let's skip town. Well, we will keep you posted throughout the day. And for those that are at Citi Field on this just beautiful, I mean, I love this weather. I want to make love to this weather. It is in the high 60s. It's like the fall. I would bottle this if I possibly could. But for those that are at Citi Field, you may see history tonight. And look, the Mets did something that reminded me of the Yankees last night. You know what they did? Pete Alonso tried to go first to third with nobody out. And that drives me nuts because here's the deal with the Mets and the Yankees. And I stick to the Yankees for now on this. Because of what I described with the talent, that their talent is right there with any other team in the American League, but it's not greater, it's not worse, they're right there. I mean, there's a reason why the Astros, the Guardians, the Yankees, the Twins, the Orioles, and the Royals are all so closely kind of tight. Because when you look at the rosters of all of these teams, it's not that far off. So what's the difference then come postseason time? What's going to be the difference between the Yankees getting hot at the right time, going on this run that it doesn't feel like any Yankee fan expects, versus getting knocked out immediately? And you know what, to me, one of the big differences? Not playing dumbass baseball. Yeah, getting hot is nice, hitting a bunch of home runs. Yes, maybe someone other than Juan Soto and Aaron Judge carrying an offense the way Cody Ross did for the Giants 15 years ago. Sure, having guys out of your bullpen pitch with a swagger and a of course, that's all obvious. But the little things can't go awry. And last night, over the course of how many innings did they end up playing? 12 innings at Yankee Stadium. A game that lasted 6 hours and 12 minutes. I'm exaggerating, but you get the point. They made so many mistakes that cannot happen if you want to win when it matters.
I botched it again.
And you did botch it again! Because we said to you before the game, Aaron, play Austin Wells! And then what happens? You used him, thank you. I mean, like, great job using him off the bench. That's fantastic. We can give you a medal for that. But Austin Wells comes in, and he looks like, you know, freaking left-handed Mike Piazza. He hits two balls, 375 feet, one off the wall, but Trent Grisham can't score. The other one was this great leaping catch. And here's the other thing. I've seen enough. And yesterday I defended Aaron Boone. I ripped him for the Austin Wells-Jose Trevino decision, but I defended him with DJ LeMahieu. And I said, you know what? There's a lefty on the mound. You know, Ben Rice has hit 140 against lefties. This is when you play DJ LeMahieu. DJ LeMahieu is now becoming unplayable. He has now moved into the category of, and what drives me nuts is when you don't make the plays defensively too. Like, if you're going to hit 189, if you're going to have a 500 OPS, if you're going to be that garbage offensively, make it up for your defense. At least Anthony Volpe does that, and Volpe had a good game offensively, so I don't want to pick on him. But that was kind of our discussion yesterday about Volpe and the point Aaron Boone made yesterday to John Boy, which I actually agree with him on, which is he's so good defensively, he's worth playing. DJ LeMahieu has entered the territory of you just can't play him anymore. You just can't play him anymore. I mean, yesterday was such a frustrating example of that, not just because of his inability to touch first base with his pinky toe, but two of those at-bats he had in extra innings that could have won the New York Yankees a game. And so last night, to me, was the worst of the worst in terms of frustrations because they were stupid. And no one can take watching stupid baseball. And that's what we witnessed last night. We'll get to your calls next, 888-808-1019. We will also be your flagship station for Perfect Game Baseball Talk. Because right now, Sean Manaea is trying to write his name into the history books. It's through five innings. And I'm sorry, the Evan Roberts rule of perfect games and no-hitters is that once you get through five, it's a big freaking deal. It's like a tornado warning. It's a perfect game warning right now. At Citi Field.
Perfect Sean.
Perfect Sean.
Perfect Sean. Yeah.
You want me to use that?
Put it in the atmosphere and it comes to fruition.
Amanda is here. She's filling in. And you know what? Sean may never come back after this. Do you like Perfect Sean? I'll let you decide.
I think Perfect Sean is pretty good.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
It's corny, but it's fun.
All right. Perfect Sean it is. Along with the Yankees' stupidity and ugliness last night, the other thing that is so important, and we are going to keep you posted throughout the day as soon as there's more of an update, is Luis Hill. Because Luis Hill called out the trainer. He was dealing with a stiff back. And he left the start early with this back issue. And let me tell you something. I don't know much about being a professional athlete. In fact, some may say I know nothing about being a professional athlete. But I have a back problem. And if his back is a tenth of the way my back feels, you can see Luis Hill in about, 2 years. No, I'm just kidding. He's a tough, tough kid. And I hope he's okay because every time I bring up the question, and I've brought it up numerous times to some of the Yankee fans around here, where I'd say, okay, Yankees start the playoffs tomorrow. What's your rotation? It's pretty easy. Gerrit Cole's your ace. And the universal pick as your number two starter is Luis Hill. And Luis Hill's had his bumps and he's had his bruises in the last couple of months after that dominant start that he had. But even despite all that, I think most Yankee fans look at him and say, yeah, that's the guy I'm giving the ball to in game two of the postseason. So you hold your breath and you hope everything is okay with him and it'll be good to, even if it's not make his next start, but be okay to return soon after that. So as soon as we get an update on Luis Hill, we'll let you know. The Mets are on top of the Orioles 2-0 in the top of the sixth inning. And so far, Sean Manaea is doing his best David Wells imitation. He's pitched a perfect game. And we will keep you posted. And if he can take this perfect game into the seventh inning, we will start getting live updates from Citi Field. And you know who I want a live update from? And I don't know how to track this person down, Luke. I want a live update from the person that bought my season tickets for, 90% off. That's what I want to hear. You got my tickets for 90% off. You're watching a potential perfect game. The least you could do is be our free stringer calling up WFAN.
Well, don't sound bitter about it. I'm sure somebody's listening to us at the game right now. Everybody knows where you sit. You're like the Pied Piper there.
I'll say it right now. 318 row 1. Go right up to that person and say, hey, you've been requested.
Now,
that's who I want to hear from.
Now, there's no chance these people leave early, right?
Oh, could you imagine?
And then they call us later that they, you know what? I actually kind of want that to happen. I want them to buy your tickets, leave early, then call us and say that your seats were vacant during the perfect game.
That would be. I had one other idea popped into my head. What if I just leave now, you take over, and I'll go to my seat. I'll just take over. I'll kick them out of my seat.
And then Ryan Hurley could fire you, and then you and him could fight, and you could call him a D-head.
I would never, ever do that. But we will keep you posted, so you don't even have to watch the Met game. We'll give you the update as soon as a hit or walk is recorded, or if Sean Manai continues his perfect game. But let's get to your calls from Yankee fans. They lost last night, and to me it wasn't just your regular extra-inning loss to a good team in which the Yankees couldn't get a big hit. It was a confoundment of just dumb, dumb baseball. Let's kick it off with Kenny in Queens. How you doing on this fine afternoon, Kenny?
Good, brother. How are you?
Good, man. What's up?
Trent Grisham is god-awful to begin with, but Rojas, this is the fourth time this year when he's trying to either stop or send a guy home. He's like 7 feet away from home plate.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. There's a square there so the guy can see you. I don't understand why he is by home plate every single time.
The reason I think that coaches do that is that they want to give themselves more time to make that decision between send or stop. But more than even that, Kenny, his hand signals are terrible. So not only was Luis Rojas a terrible manager for the New York Mets and not a very good interview when he joined Craig and I on a daily or weekly basis, but he also is really bad with hand signals because it was very confusing what he was trying to tell Trent Grisham. So I think that was a combination failure of Yankee coaching, Luis Rojas, and Trent Grisham. And I'll tell you this right now. I know that Jason Dominguez needs to play every day. At some point, call Jason Dominguez up and let him be the guy running and trying to score on an Austin Wells double. I know Trent Grisham's probably got better sprint speed, but it seems like Grisham is a part of mistakes on a constant basis. Let's go to Bob in Summit, New Jersey. What's up, Bob?
Hey, watched the game last night until I had to put the convention on for my wife, but I knew they were going to lose anyway.
Yeah.
But when you're talking about something stupid being in the water and the elements, I totally agree. And one of the most shocking things was I've had the argument with my buddy from many, many years ago. We both saw Willie and Mickey play, and I said that Judge is the best player I've ever seen. But last night, I don't know that anybody's mentioned it, but where was he going on a pop fly in foul territory when the winning run is on second base? And he almost got doubled up at first. It was a no-brainer. He should have stayed where he was.
He was trying.
I'm just making
that comment. Okay, so let me respond to that, because that would have been, if he was thrown out, one of the most bizarre, like, ridiculous plays. He was running on the pitch. I think that's what created the problem. I think he was trying to steal second base. And so ball's now popped up. You then have to stop, turn around, and get back to first.
Well, that makes sense to me, and I agree with you there, because I didn't see that on the replay, so I couldn't tell that happened. But it just seems so silly that he was, like, almost doubled up at first.
Yeah.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Was the winning run on second base?
I promise. No, Bob, I'm with you. And I'm not allergic to criticizing Aaron Judge, even though it's so tough to ever criticize Aaron Judge because he's like the franchise. But if he makes a mistake, like, for example, if he shunned kids from Staten Island, New York at the Little League Classic, I'd be the first guy to say, what are you doing, Aaron Judge? But the truth is, he didn't shun little kids from Staten Island, New York, because I believe the New York Yankees, and I believe Major League Baseball, and I also believe Aaron Judge's reputation. So when those accusations came out the other day, I said, I don't believe you. I'm sorry. I feel bad, because usually I believe anybody on Staten Island. But in this case, not that the coach is a liar. I'm not saying he's a liar. I'm thinking he's a little extra sensitive. But Aaron Judge has earned, in my opinion, the reputation of being such a good dude that I doubt he was ignoring kids. But you know all those kids wanted. They wanted something so small from Aaron Judge. All they wanted was to be acknowledged.
Acknowledge me!
That's all they wanted. Simple as that. So I brought this whole story up just so I could play Roman Reigns Acknowledge Me on WFAN. That was the only reason I brought this up. So let's just do it one more time so we can all feel good.
Acknowledge me!
Yeah! Sean Manaea's perfect game has ended with two outs in the sixth inning because he hit a batter.
All right, Evan, we got to find out how many perfect games have been blown up sixth inning or later on a hits batsman.
Max Scherzer with the Washington Nationals hit a guy.
You need a life. You got that right off the top of your head?
I remember it, yeah. Is that okay?
I mean, even Amanda reacted that way. I mean, you didn't even take a breath there on that one.
I forget the batter. I forget how many outs away he was. He may have been like one out away or two outs away. It was a lot closer than what Sean Manaea is at. So Sean Manaea, who's been great, and I give him a lot of credit. It's not like the Mets are hitting the ball, cover off the ball. They've only scored two runs against the guy who didn't know he was going to start until, you know, 5 minutes before first pitch. And by the way, as I say that, Sean Manaea has given up a game-tying two-run home run. So I've changed my mind. Screw you, Sean Manaea. Way to tease us for 5 2/3 innings, and they give up a two-run bomb to Austin Slater. So everything I just said about Manaea, I take it back. You suck. I feel better now. What? What? You got something to say, Loogie? Jose, Mr. Positive Tommy?
Jose Tabata was the guy that got hit by Max Scherzer, number one.
Who cares? We're past that.
So in the span of 30 seconds, Perfect Sean gave up his perfect game by hitting a nice fella on the Orioles.
Yes.
And then this dude here just rocked a two-run homer.
That's correct.
So we're tied up. Now let's be honest with ourselves here, Evan, and you need to be honest with the audience here. You were rooting against the perfect game.
I was not.
Yes, you were.
I was not.
Because you were not at the game. You're not scoring it. You didn't want to see everybody there witness history with you here with me.
No. Here's the truth. In the sixth inning, I still want him to keep the perfect game. In the seventh inning, still want him to keep it.
Keep going.
Eighth inning, I still want to keep it. In the ninth inning, depending on the score, things may change. But in the sixth inning, I'm still concerned about the game. Look, you said something earlier. I forgot if it was on air or off air. But you said the game is actually more important than any idea for pitching a perfect game.
I said that off air.
Yeah, you're right.
Yep.
This is a very important Met game. This is a swing game not only in this series, but on this homestand. They are 4-4, if my math is correct, on this homestand. Okay? This is a chance to have a winning homestand. This is a chance to have a winning series against Baltimore. This is also a chance, depending on what happens tonight, to regain ground on the Atlanta Braves. So that's the most important thing. But here's what we know. It's a 2-2 game in the seventh inning, and we'll keep you posted. That's what we know. He's complimenting Sean Manaea, and as I'm complimenting him, he gives up a two-run home run. I hate this. I hate everything. I don't like sports. That's the truth. Spadingo once told me this. If I could come back in another lifetime, and then he had a job description that I'm not going to repeat on the air, but basically someone that is not interested in sports.
I got you. Sports hasn't loved you back either, to be fair.
No kidding.
If you were a Yankee fan, a Patriot fan, you would love sports. It's just your sports teams have not loved you back.
I don't think Yankee fans love sports right now either, by the way.
It's like 15 years, but if they were our age, they should love it.
Like, Mo in Brooklyn hates sports, right, Mo? You hate it. You can't stand it.
As of now, yes, Evan. I agree. I'd like to rant about our Supreme Court Justice General Manager right now.
I like that. Clarence Thomas Cashman. Go ahead.
So 2 months before the deadline, if you asked any Yankee fan, what are the holes on the team that have to be repaired in a year that the American League is so average, the entire baseball is so average, and you have Judge and Soto, you know, Yankee fans would have said, first base, closer, starting pitching, meaning, and right now, Cashman addressed none of that at the deadline. He got Chisholm for third base, very good. Not his fault that Chisholm's injured. Didn't get a starting pitcher where we're relying on Rodon, Stroman, and Hill with pitching more innings than he ever did. He still has Holmes closing games, and he's got LeMahieu playing first base, and also, another thing with Cashman that has been the last few years, the best players don't play. Vertigo in left field is not the best player right now to be playing left field. He stinks. He's a ground ball to second base every single time. I didn't care if Judge would have gotten doubled off at first base last night because Verdugo got out anyway.
Well, you're
Dominguez
you're
should be playing left field.
Okay, so you're, first of all, calling Verdugo Vertigo made me laugh. Okay, so there was a little bit of a chuckle. You didn't hear it on the air because I shut my mic off because I wanted you to be able to make your kind of rant without me interrupting. I want to let you speak. But calling him Vertigo, I don't know why. So I'm going to give you a fake laugh just so you know that I thought it was funny. Now, your last point was going to answer my sort of defense on Brian Cashman at the trade deadline. I love the trade of Jazz Chisholm. I think Jazz Chisholm has a chance to be a star. I think Jazz Chisholm has a chance to blossom here in New York City, and I think we've seen for the 3.5 weeks he's been here that Jazz can really take it to the next level here.
Chisholm!
I mean, he's got all that potential in the world. He goes out and he plays third base. He's hit a ton of home runs. He's hit, you already know that. And so I was going to say, and I believe this, if Jazz Chisholm is in the Yankees lineup last night,
Chisholm!
I think they win the game. I do. I think if Jazz Chisholm is in the lineup. Okay. If Jazz Chisholm is in the lineup on. Who is that, by the way? It sounds like Hillary Clinton.
It is the former first lady.
Oh, there you go. By the way, I'm in a very political mood today. And by political, I don't mean modern politics because that sucks. I'm wearing my Abe Lincoln t-shirt. In fact, I'm going to begin a trend over the next few days where I whip out all my political shirts. I've got 4 of them.
Just make sure that's the only thing you're whipping out here, right? I'm going on vacation. I don't need you doing anything to get a New York Post headline.
No. Just my political shirts. And luckily, I doubt anybody's going to be offended by them because they're mostly political legends from yesteryear.
The Mount Rushmore, literally.
People I like. All right, what do you got?
Okay, we do have news from the Yankees here on Luis Gil. Luis Gil has been placed on the 15-day IL.
Oh, my God, right away?
Lower back strain, they're calling it. 15-day IL, and they have recalled Will Warren from Scranton.
Well, we've obviously seen Will Warren. We've seen the bad of Will Warren. We've seen the decent of Will Warren, and he'll take his rotation spot with Luis Gil out, but that's pretty quick. That's not... Hey, day-to-day, he may miss a start. That's missing multiple starts because it's 15 days backdated to yesterday. So you're looking at after Labor Day, obviously. I got to do the math. But what, September 6th? September 7th? Yeah. Something of that nature?
And Evan, you're an expert on backs, and especially lower back. Like, that's no joke. So you never know, like, how he's going to come back from this. Like, that's
it's a
tough,
major
dude.
Blow. I mean, there's no way to spin it. It's a major blow to this rotation. I mean, even after the dominant start that Luis Gil had, and he started to come back down to earth, he would give you quality performances mixed in. Some good ones. You know, he pitched 5 scoreless against the Angels despite walking a million people. He pitched reasonably well against the Mets a while ago when they played the 2-game series. He was okay against the Phillies, pitched into the 6th inning. Like, none of this is dominant. None of this is Doc Gooden 84, but he was very... Doc Gooden 85. Doc Gooden was a rookie in 84, but 85 is the year we mostly think of. But he was solid, and now you've taken him away for at least 2 weeks. So, not a good update. I mean, they're not telling us he's out for the year, but they are telling us he's out for 2+ weeks. Availability is so important. That was one of the things Mo was complaining about. And I'm making the argument, hey, Jazz Chisholm doesn't get hurt. I think they may win some of these last few games they've lost. They've lost because they couldn't get the big hit. They lost because of production or lack thereof. I mean, look at yesterday. They couldn't get a hit with runners in scoring position. If Jazz Chisholm is in the lineup, one hit goes a different way, you win. But availability has been a big issue with this team at times. Giancarlo Stanton not being available. Last year, Aaron Judge not being available. And no one wants to hear that excuse. And you want to know why no one wants to hear that excuse about injuries? I'll tell you why. How's Kyle Tucker doing right now for the Houston Astros? I'll help you guys out. He's not playing. How's Justin Verlander been doing for the Astros during their recent hot streak? Until today, when he makes his return, he hasn't been playing. For my fellow Met fans who want to catch the Braves, the Mets are behind the Braves. Guess who they've been without? Ozzie Albies, Ronald Acuna Jr., Spencer Strider. Like, this is baseball. How about the Orioles? The Orioles have no rotation after Corbin Burns. And no one's saying they're lighting the world on fire, but they're finding a way. How about the team the Yankees are playing right now, the Cleveland Guardians? Do you remember way back when in April, when my fantasy team still had a shot? They had an ace. They had a veteran guy who was off to this ridiculous start through, I think, 3 starts. His name is Shane, don't call me Justin Bieber. Where's he at? All these guys are hurt. So injuries suck. Injuries hurt you. I think, like I just laid out with Jazz, him not being there the last few games has contributed to their losses. But guess what? It's not an excuse because everybody's got it, right? I mean, I just went through. How about the Brewers? I don't even want to stop. I want to keep going. How about the Brewers?
You missed a major one.
Christian Yelich, done for the season. They're playing great baseball.
the Dodgers didn't have Mookie forever.
The Dodgers!
Yamamoto's been out for a while, so they've been missing a lot of
I don't count the Dodgers. They're unfair. They're like a cheat code.
They're like a cheat code because they spend money?
Yes.
Didn't we see that in this town for 20-something years? Come on.
I'm just kidding. No, but you're right about that. I mean, the truth is it's every team in baseball. That's the reality. Like every, how about San Diego? Yu Darvish, where's he been? I honestly don't know. I was trying to figure that out recently. Like, did something happen? And I asked that because he's not on the IL on fantasy. He's on NA, which means he's like, I don't know what happened. I hope everything's okay with him. I hope everything's all right with his family and whatnot. But this is a part of baseball. So no Yankee fan, no Met fan, no fan of any team wants to hear about the unavailability of player excuse because look at all the teams I just went through. And they're finding ways. Let's go to, wow, up into Montana. Big Sky Country. Let's say hi to Steve. What's up, Steve?
How y'all doing there?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Great. I'm calling in from Montana. I love the station. I loved it with Karn. I still like it a little bit with you and Tiki.
All right. Well, we'll take that. I mean, I'll go from love it to, it's okay. Like, I'll take it.
Yeah, Karn was a star, man.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. I tell you a funny story about Craig Karn. You want to hear it real quick?
Yeah.
So do you remember how he used to talk about how he was a minor league baseball player for the Philadelphia?
All the time. Okay. All the time.
Do you believe that story or do you think he was just kind of screwing around?
Probably screwing around.
Okay. So I went to a baseball game with a couple of guys recently and they talked very seriously about Craig Carton, the minor league baseball player. And I felt like I had to tell them that was all BS. Like he was never really a minor league baseball player. So let me ask you this, Steve. Do you think I shouldn't have told them that it was all a made up story? Or should I have let the dream live forever that Craig was the backup third baseman for Scott Rolen?
Gotta let the dream live. Come on.
Yeah, it's a bad job by me.
If he fooled even 10 people for that, that is just excellent.
Yeah, that's a good, you know what? I make a mistake. I should have kept the dream alive. My bad. Anyhow, what's your point? I'm sorry.
I'm here to tell you that I cannot bear watching this Yankees ball club with Aaron Boone sitting there on the bench with his little sunglasses and his Yankee bomber jacket. The guy does absolutely nothing. What's he doing? He sits up there running those numbers and doing absolutely nothing. The guy, get him out of here, clean house, and let's start a real baseball franchise here in this town again.
Yeah! Let's make baseball great again here in New York. I thought that was coming next. Look, I don't blame Aaron Boone for every issue the New York Yankees have, but I will say, when I talk about dumbass baseball and I talk about the mistakes that the Yankees made last night, I think that most people, if they're going to assign blame to anybody, they're going to go right at the doorstep of the manager of this team.
I botched it again.
And if the Yankees don't have success this year, and we could argue what that even means, like what's success this year, right? I don't think getting to the ALCS is necessarily success because 2 years ago when they did get to the ALCS and they got annihilated by the Astros, there was no Yankee fan saying, well, gee, we got to the ALCS, that's successful. But if this season ends badly, I think that just to make Yankee fans happy, they're going to want to see Aaron Boone gone. But don't confuse yourself and think that literally getting rid of him is going to fix all their issues, because I don't think it will. Let's go to Greg in New Haven, Connecticut. What's up, Greg?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem. What's on your mind?
Listen, I don't think it is all Aaron Boone. If Trent Grisham does not know how to run the bases, that's not Aaron Boone's fault. Trent Grisham didn't. He's supposed to, once he sees that ball at the top of the wall, and he's right near second base,
he's got
to
score.
He's supposed to be running at top speed like he's trying to score a run. If he gets held up, he gets held up. But he didn't run at top speed, not one stride of that entire second base to home plate debacle.
And he's got to be a pinch runner in that situation because, look, Giancarlo Stanton can't run. I think we all accept that. So in any spot like that, you're going to go to your best available runner on the bench, which is Trent Grisham. So I can't even rip him for going to him because he's the only guy you're going to in a spot like that.
Right. And I've seen Grisham run and he's fast and he did not even look fast.
And that's the thing that doesn't make any sense. And those are the kinds of mistakes that can't happen. Like you cannot, when Austin Wells smokes that double off the wall, and thank God he entered the game when he was used as a pinch hitter. And I mean, looked like he hadn't skipped a beat. As he just missed a pair of home runs, there is zero excuse for not scoring on a play like that. You've got to score on a play like that. I give Sean Manaea a little bit of credit because he was able to pitch through the seventh inning, so the Mets and the Orioles are deadlocked in a 2-2 game, excuse me, in the bottom of the seventh inning. Now, Lou, you're telling me people are mad at me? Like I did something wrong?
Yeah, you're being accused of being a jinx and a mush. Someone said this should be a lesson to you. You should never talk about a perfect game in the fifth inning.
Okay. Let me tell you why I did that, okay? And I understand that people are very sensitive. We call them sensitive bitches, where I didn't say the word. I added a pronunciation to it. I believe that the audience, like someone who's in their car right now, or somebody in Montana who's, you know, listening to us right now, they need to know what's going on in the world, right? I want to keep you posted on what's going on in our world. Like, I'm not breaking down the Democratic National Convention for you, but I am breaking down, hey, this is what's going on in the sports world. Like, for example, the Jets and the Giants are having a joint practice right now, okay? If there's a major injury, I'm going to let you know, all right? So there's a baseball game going on in the afternoon. I don't love that. I don't love being on while the Mets are on, but this is the job we have. Sometimes there's a game on while we're on. So we have two options. One option is to ignore its existence and make believe the Mets aren't playing, okay? One other option is, hey, I'm going to keep you posted. You don't have to go listen to the game. You don't have to go watch the game. I got you. I'm right here. I put my arm around you. I let you know what's going on. We can have fun, talk about a million things, and you won't miss a beat. So I took the decision today, maybe the wrong decision, of I'm going to keep everybody posted. It's an important game, not just for Met fans, but for Yankee fans. And to ignore the existence of a Met Day game would be stupid. So I'm going to put my arm around you, Met fans and Yankee fans, and say, here's what's going on. How can I not tell you that the starting pitcher for the Mets hasn't retired a base runner? I'd be failing at my job. So I'm sorry if you all think I'm mushing or I'm jinxing, whatever stupid term you have. I need to inform you. I'm like Cronkite in the 60s right now.
That's what you went with? Okay, so you're like a weather person. Like, they tell us about a storm a week ahead of time. We don't just get, you know, 12 inches of snow and they tell us that morning. I think in this spot, Evan, perfect game, important game. You did the right thing.
Thanks.
And you should not be accused of crimes against sports management.
Thank you. I was about to say, do I have to go on trial like Sean did?
There will be no trial. It was a hung jury. You're out.
It's funny. I don't know if you could find it, Lug. But I actually made an AI song months and months ago about Sean Morash jinxing Luis Severino's no-hitter. Do you remember that all the way back? I think it was in May. The Mets were playing the Chicago Cubs, and Sevy had a no-hitter. And I honestly thought he was going to pitch it that night because, speaking of my back issue, my back really acted up that night. My dad had a major leg issue, and we still decided to fight through and go to the Met game. And we were thinking of not going to the game. And Sevy was flirting with this no-hitter. And as I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh, my God, this is like made to be. We battle through our injury, and now we're going to witness a New York Met pitch a no-hitter. Spoiler alert, he did not pitch a no-hitter, and the Mets blew the game. Christopher Morel hit a bomb of a home run, and Joey Wendell, remember Joey Wendell? Joey Wendell made a very, very big defensive miscue. So I don't know why I brought that story up, but...
So this was back in your AI obsession days?
Because I made an AI song about how Sean went on Twitter and was like congratulating Severino on a no-hitter, and I got really mad at him. So there are times in which I believe in jinxes because I made a song commemorating him as a jinx. You remember that? Oh, here it is.
Let's relive this one.
Sean Morash, why'd you have to jinx it? Now Severino's no. Hitter is gone and split. You should have kept quiet, not tempt fate. But now it's too late, it's just the way it goes, mate.
Fans were cheering.
All right, that was out of nowhere. By the way, the Mets have regained the lead on a home run by Mark Vientos. 3-2 Mets, bottom of the seventh inning. Some call Mark Vientos a rock star.
A rock star, a future star. Mark Vientos is box office.
He's been great this year.
And right? I will say this, I don't know if this is a hot take or not, but I believe Mark Vientos has now gotten further along here than Francisco Alvarez. Alvarez was sort of the golden boy. I think Mark, now that doesn't mean Francisco
right, he's had a better year, bro. I mean,
yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. Now, obviously, defensively, they're not even in the same stratosphere. Obviously, Alvarez is way better, but Vientos, as far as hitting, I mean, this guy could hit 40 home runs this year.
I want to bring up a Yankee perspective to this Vientos home run for a second, because this is the beautiful part about Mets Orioles. Like, it really does involve all of us. So, obviously, huge home run for Vientos. Mets are six outs away. We'll see how Mendy manages this bullpen. I'll tell you right now, Budo to Diaz. That's what I would tell you right now. But here's a reminder for Yankee fans out there. The guy who gave up the home run is important. The guy who gave up the home run, who came into a tie game in the seventh inning because he sucks, because the Orioles and Brandon Hyde realize, oh my God, this guy's bad. In fact, wait for this, Yankee fans. He's worse than Clay Holmes. Craig Kimbrell, who is no longer the Baltimore Orioles closer. That's where the Orioles are with their bullpen situation right now. And that's the team you're battling in the American League East. They pulled Craig Kimbrell from the closer's role. Philly fans are laughing because they did the same thing. And he was brought into a tie game in the seventh inning. So they still gave him a high leverage spot. They still said, hey, can you keep this game tied? There's a big game for the Orioles. And he gives up a home run to Mark Vientos. And I'm not saying this to make everybody feel better. Like, you should still be annoyed about your own issues. But, man, when you look around at some of these flawed, broken American League teams, that's why if you can just play smarter baseball, of course you could beat these teams. Craig Kimbrell? And Gary Cohen said something last night I was actually offended by.
Same.
Oh, you know where I'm going with this?
I heard it, and I was just about to bring it up, so I'm glad you did.
So Gary Cohen, in talking about Craig Kimbrell, who came into last night's Met game in the ninth inning, called him, very arrogantly too, by the way, like not even as if it's a debate, future Hall of Famer. Are you freaking kidding me?
I think he threw in almost like a legendary there, too. I was like, oh, that's absurd.
Look, he had some amazing years with the Atlanta Braves. Okay, I'm not going to tell you that he wasn't, like, really good for about a 3 to 4 year period. But outside of that, he has had an up and down. You can't trust him. Crazy career. I don't think he was dominant for long enough.
No, there aren't that many modern closers even in the Hall of Fame. So how does he skip the line?
I don't think he is one.
No, he's not. Definitely not.
Gary Cohen. Just a Hall of Famer. I want to argue with that. Hall of Famer. Anyhow, the Mets hit a home run off of him. Now they have a lead.
Well, people are going to think you're jinxing him again, by the way, by saying they took the lead. Just know that that's...
They took the lead. The Mets have a lead. I'm jinxing them.
I'm with you. I think we should be doing positive updates here. Just know that the negative people on Twitter are going to be mad.
Oh, I'll balance it out. They're probably going to blow it now, but they took a lead. In fact, we're going to take a really, really quick break. And while we're breaking, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to go on my FanDuel Sportsbook app and take out emotional insurance that the Orioles are going to come back and win this game.
We also have another thing that we just got brought up to here.
Go ahead.
The people that are watching the game and listening to us, you're spoiling it.
I'm ahead of them?
Yeah.
All right, so what I'll do, because I want to be
count
fair.
Count to 10.
I will count to 10.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.